Luke chapter 1, verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Let's pray. Father, as we look into the Word, I ask for your help and guidance. Pray your blessings upon your people. We offer to you this morning our praise, our rejoicing at the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for guiding Luke in penning these words for us, that we have the history of events that took place about the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As the world pauses this week to allow us to celebrate our Savior, we pray, Father, for your people to be blessed and help us to rejoice in you. Help us to be good witnesses and testimony for you in this time. And we lift you up and exalt you today, and we pray through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we looked last Sunday at Matthew's gospel and the revelation of the King of the Jews. We saw Matthew revealed the genealogy of Christ and how he was the son of David and the son of Abraham, and therefore he was an heir to the throne as the king. Matthew recorded the sign that the virgin would bring forth a son from Isaiah 7 in verse number 14. So he revealed the Son of God. He revealed that Christ is God with us. We saw the revelation to Joseph from the angel in a dream, how he should take Mary as his wife, and how Christ would be the Son of God, and he was to name him Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. We saw the revelation of the various responses that people made, from Herod to the wise men, the responses of rejecting Christ, of even Herod, as he had hatred and greed and avarice toward the Savior and did not want him to be born, and he wanted him destroyed. He killed all the male children trying to destroy him. People still reject the Lord today, sadly, and we testify of him, and yet folks reject the message. It's not you and I they're rejecting, really. It's the Lord they are rejecting. It's the conviction of their own sins they're rejecting, and unwilling to humble themselves, as Herod was unwilling to do. And then there are those that believe and rejoice and worship the King. And we saw those responses last week from Matthew's revelation. Saw the revelation to the wise men to come and worship the King. Today we look at Luke's Gospel in chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Luke has been chosen of God to give us the most detailed history about the events leading up to and the birth of Christ, and how Mary received the message from the angel of God, and all those things are recorded for us in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1 and chapter 2. Now, the date and time, we cannot be exact specific, but people in the early church age would have clearly known the date and time by the list that Luke gives. It was at the days of Herod, who was the king of Judea. It was the time of Zacharias being a priest. It was the time the decree went out from Caesar Augustus. It was the time when Cyrenius was governor in Syria. All of these events that were described, the early people, early Christians would have known exactly when that date and time was. History has not kept that for us, and we have a guesstimation and an estimation of the dates and times, which are assuredly fairly close. Now, Luke is called the beloved physician in Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 14. We know he traveled with Paul in his missionary journeys, and God chose him to also write for us the history of the book of Acts, the early church, and the Acts of the Apostles. And Luke was a ready penman that the Spirit of God could guide to give us books of the Bible, letters that he wrote to Theophilus. We don't know who Theophilus was. Must have been somebody very important to Luke to record these things and send them to him. But his name means beloved of God. And so Luke writes to all of us as the beloved of God these things that have truly taken place. Now, in Luke's revelation of Christ, we see an instruction of the truth that's revealed in the gospel. Luke writes a book of doctrine. It is a book that gives us Christology, the doctrine of Christ, all about Jesus Christ, His birth, His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His message to His disciples. Luke records all of that. There are four Gospels, and these four Gospels record for us the good news of Christ's birth. They give us four points of view. If I said to you this morning, turn around and look at the back wall, and then turn back and tell me what you saw, one thing, most important, somebody would say, the clock. Somebody would say the white doors and the brick wall and the mission board. And we'd all be telling the truth and we'd all be right, but we'd be giving a fuller view of everything that is back there. And that's what the four Gospels are all about, to give us a full and complete view of the person of Christ, His death, burial, resurrection, and His message to man. So Luke writes a book of doctrine, the person and work of Christ, our Lord and Savior. He writes a book of ethical instruction on how we are to live as the disciples of Christ. As Paul wrote to Titus in chapter 2, he said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And that's still true for us today, and that's true from the gospel message of Christ teaching His disciples on how to live, the instruction that He gave to us as believers. We are to live differently than we did when we were unsaved people and had not yet believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke writes a book of comfort that reveals to us why we can rejoice and that we are to rejoice in the Lord. Look at chapter 2 with me of the Gospel of Luke and verse number 10. The message the angels gave to the shepherds in chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Again in verse number 20, "And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." I don't know about you, my friends, I think I do, but I can't speak for you, but I can certainly speak for myself. If God found you in the depths of sin, where He found me in the depths of sin, and changed you as He changed me, we got something to rejoice about. We got something to glorify God about. We got something to be thankful. And the world around us doesn't need to hear us complain about this and complain about that. They need to hear us rejoicing about the good news of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And in this season of the year, they might give us a word of audience. They might give us a moment to testify. They might allow us to speak up for Christ in this season of the year. Luke writes a book of comfort, revealing why we should rejoice. And I say to you, I don't rejoice enough. I get down with living life too. I have things that break. I have stuff and it rusts, busts, and collect dust. And you know, I complain about things all the time. But if I can get my focus back where it needs to be, I'll rejoice in what I have in the Lord, rejoice in our salvation, and we can tell others the good news. He's come as our Messiah. Our sin debt has been paid in full through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's something to rejoice about, my friends. We don't have to stand before the wrath of God. We don't have to stand before the terrible judgment of God in the great white throne. Christ has delivered us from our sins and from all the penalty of it. And one day He's going to deliver us from the very presence of this present evil world in which we live and take us to heaven to be with Him forevermore. Rejoice, Christ has come. He also writes a book of prophecy. It's called eschatology. Soteriology is the study of salvation. Christology is the doctrine of Christ. And eschatology is the doctrine of future things, the study of future things. And Luke reveals this to us. He reveals how we should live after coming to Christ. And then he records for us things that we can know about the future. He revealed in 19:10 that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. In chapter 21, he gives a similar comparison to Matthew 24, the tribulation doctrine of future things that will happen. Christ is going to take us to heaven to be with Him forevermore, and then there's going to begin a time of God's wrath poured out upon this earth in the great tribulation. And the tribulation of about 7 years upon this earth, the Bible pinpoints specifically that time, the last 3.5 years being the great tribulation where the wrath of God is poured out. Revelation 6 through 19 reveals all those events that will transpire. And Luke gives a picture of that in chapter 21. It is a book of prophecy. Secondly, Luke is chosen by God to reveal the fullest account of the birth of Christ. Matthew gives us a brief, but Luke gives us details. He tells us how the angel Gabriel came to Mary and explained to her that she would be with child. And he tells us about the events prior to that of the birth of John the Baptist and coming up to the birth of Christ. He gives us the fullest detail. Look back in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Verse 26, chapter 1, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth." That's the sixth month of the life of Elizabeth, who was expectant with John the Baptist. So we know John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. If you ever see a movie about Jesus, they show John the Baptist, they'll show Jesus as a young man, John the Baptist as an old man. John was 6 months older than Jesus. You can correct the movies, okay? Verse 27, "He was sent to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So the virgin birth is explained to Mary. It was a sign to the nation of Israel that Isaiah had prophesied would take place. And Luke records the events, how this is explained to Mary, to a virgin of the house of David. His name is to be Jesus in verse number 32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He's going to be called Jesus because he could save his people from their sins, Matthew revealed to us. He's going to be God with us. He's going to be the one who could take our place. He's going to be the one who is the fulfillment of prophecy that God said would come, and he came, was born as a babe in a manger, lived a perfect sinless life, and died on Calvary's cross. He was buried and he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven with God the Father and his disciples watching as he went up. And Luke records that in Acts chapter 1 in verse number 9. God's plan of redemption is revealed in Luke 1, verse number 31. Again in chapter 2, in verse number 11, that Jesus is Jehovah's salvation. He is born the Savior, Christ the Lord, in chapter 2, in verse number 11. So God's purpose for salvation is revealed, and I'm thankful to record to you today that that purpose is revealed for all men who will believe. It is for the Jews, yes, but it is also for the Gentiles, for every nation of men, regardless of their color of skin, regardless of their language, regardless of their culture. If they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be saved. And Revelation records there'll be people from every nation and every tongue and every tribe of earth will praise God together in heaven one day because of the salvation of Jesus Christ. Jesus ministered to Jew and Gentile. His disciples were Jewish believers who were ready and waiting for the Messiah to come. He called them to follow Him. We study about their lives, the 12 disciples. Christ also ministered to the Gentiles, the Phoenician, Syrophoenician woman who came to Him begging for help for her daughter, for the centurion and his servant who He healed. Christ is the light of the world. He is the only Savior. He is the one who can save all people from their sins. In Luke chapter 4, in verse 18, we have a message that Jesus gave. He went into the synagogue as a young teacher. He sat down. They gave Him some reverence. They did not worship Him. They didn't believe on Him as the Savior yet. But they knew He knew the Word greater than anyone. And He goes into the synagogue of Nazareth. In Luke chapter 4, verse number 18, He reads from Isaiah 61. And the reading that day, the book is given unto Him, and He reads the passage, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." He didn't finish Isaiah's next verse, which talks about the acceptable year of the Lord, talks about the wrath of God coming upon men in the judgment of God, because He didn't come for that. He came to save men from their sin. The judgment is something that will come later on. He reached men and women. He reached out to the noblest of the Jews and to the women of questionable lifestyle. He healed lepers. He delivered men from demons. He opened the eyes of the blind. He made the lame to walk. He even raised the dead to life again. And yet people rejected Him as Messiah and did not believe on Him as their Lord. Look at Christianity today and all that it demonstrates with having the blessings of God, and yet multitudes still reject the Lord even today. Luke writes a book that reveals God's promises have been fulfilled. God's plan of redemption has been made. God's purpose for salvation for all has been delivered. God's peace and comfort for His people have been shown. The revelation of that to man is given, and Luke is one who's used by God to reveal these things. In Luke chapter 2 and verse number 10, the message from the angel is, "Fear not. Good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people." Verse 14 says, "The heavenly host proclaimed peace, goodwill toward men. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for what they had heard." My friends, if you know the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to pause and rejoice a little bit once in a while. If you need to, just get alone somewhere and have yourself a little emotional fit, you know. Just thank God for some things and praise God for what He's done for you and what you have. And I'm talking to God a lot of times when I'm in the car by myself. I know people probably think I'm singing with the radio or something like that. I'll even spare myself that most of the time. But I do talk to the Lord in prayer. Somebody pull up to me beside me every once in a while at a red light, and I'll be talking to the Lord, and they'll look over at me, you know. And you feel that feeling, something's looking at you. You ever felt that way? Somebody's looking at you or something, and I look over and they're looking at me like, "What in the world's wrong with you?" I had that feeling one day with my family. I took them through one of these drive-through exotic animal paradises in Missouri. About 1,500 different animals, just roaming wild. You drive your car through, it says, "Stay in your car, stay on the road, don't get out." They do have a little bit of a fence up for the lions and the tigers and the bears and that sort of thing, but some of those dummies stop and get out of the car and go over and take a picture of them, you know, and then you'll see a Jeep flying through the woods coming down there to fuss at them. I got cameras watching all that. They don't want to get eaten. They get sued. So we buy the kids some feed to feed the animals out the windows, you know, and I spool the window down on the old car I had. And I'm handing them the feed, and I feel that sensation, something's watching me. As an ostrich about that far away from my nose. His head was about that big. He had an eyeball about that big around. It was looking right at me, you know. And I had that fear and trembling went over me like he's going to bite my nose off. And I just eased my hand down there and spooled that window up till he had to jerk his head out, you know, before he got closed up. Most likely he just wanted to get fed, you know, but I didn't want him to get fed on my nose. Well, sometimes I get that feeling, somebody looking at me, but it don't bother me. I'm talking to the Lord, I just keep right on talking to the Lord. And we need to praise God, whether it's in private or in public. The more we do it in public in the right way, the more we're being a witness and a testimony of Christ and able to share the good news with people about what God has done. Thirdly, Luke reveals the forerunner, John the Baptist. and his message, calling men to repentance. In chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4 of Luke, he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptist was the one who came to prepare the way for Christ to come. He's 6 months older than Christ. He probably established his ministry 6 months before Christ did. He's baptizing people, calling them to repentance, to cleanse themselves of their sins and be prepared because the Messiah is coming. Now, his birth is a miracle, we know. The Gospel of Luke chapter 1 records in verse 7 and chapter 1 verse 15 through 17 how the angel appeared to Zacharias in the temple and revealed to him they were going to have a son and his name would be John. And they were old in age. This is like Abraham and Sarah. God miraculously reversed their bodies, allowed them to have a son. He was filled with the Spirit of God even from his mother's womb. He had a message and a mission, and he was faithful to do what God called him to do. He was outwardly separate from his society. He was inwardly filled with the Spirit of God. He bore witness of Christ, revealing him in John 1:29. He said that Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He called men to repent because Christ is coming. Our message is not much different today, my friends. We are to be separate from the sinful society in which we live. We are to be inwardly filled with the Spirit of God. We are to bear witness of Christ. And we're to warn people that Jesus is coming again. And they need to be prepared because we don't know when the day and the hour will be. And so it's important that people are fearful of God, the wrath of God, the judgment of God, so that they would come to Christ and be saved and delivered from their sins before it's too late. Luke reveals the message of Gabriel to Zacharias and the message of Gabriel to Mary. This is called angelology, the study of angels, the doctrine and the science of the study of angels. The angel brought the revelation of John to his father and the revelation of Christ to Mary. He records it in Luke 1, 18 and 19, chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. He visits these people. Can you imagine having a visit from an angel of God? Zacharias in the temple doing his duties, and all of a sudden the glory of an angel stands there. Guess what? He's afraid. I think I would be afraid too. I think most people would. If an angel in his glory appeared, I think we'd fear. But the angel's message was, fear not. You don't have to be afraid. I'm here to give you a message from God. And of course, John had a hard time believing it. We'd probably have a hard time believing it too. We have a hard time doing everything we ought to do. We learn the Bible. Sometimes we have a problem with obeying it. Then the angel goes to Mary and his message is the same thing in chapter 1, verse number 30. Fear not. Don't be afraid. What's going to happen to you is of God. And you've been chosen. And this is something God would have you to understand and not be afraid of. The message to the shepherds in chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10 is they do not have to fear. One of the problems today is that the unsaved of our society have lost their fear of God. If you don't know Christ as your Savior and you stand ready to be judged for your life and every sin you've ever committed, you ought to fear God. But if you can come to Christ and be saved, you don't have to fear because He washes your sins away. He keeps you and He prepares a place for you and He promises to take you to heaven to be with Him forevermore. The Bible says in Proverbs, to fear God is the beginning of wisdom for man. To have an awe and a respect for who God is and to recognize He will judge the world and to recognize He judges sin, we need the Savior to intercede for us because our good deeds don't outweigh our bad deeds. All of the good deeds that unsaved people do, my friends, they are corrupt because the people are corrupt. They're corrupt because of the sin nature. They're corrupt because of sin. God doesn't accept those sacrifices. He doesn't accept those deeds, those good works. Once you're saved, then every good work you do, you're going to be rewarded for from the Lord. But one must be saved first and cleansed of their sin to have the hope of salvation and not have to fear. We fear not because there is a Savior, Christ the Lord, who can save us from our sins. Colossians 1:13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." God saved us, took us out of His kingdom of darkness, put us in the kingdom of light. We live in a different kingdom today, friends. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. We've got a home in heaven with the Lord, assured because of Him, not because of us. And we're kept by the power of God unto the day of salvation. Last of all, he writes, revealing the account of God's angels at the birth of Christ, the revelation to the shepherds in chapter 2 and verse 7 through 10. He reveals the message that was given to the shepherds, and he reveals the message the shepherds gave as they departed, glorifying and praising God for what they had seen. Question is, my friends, what message will we give this Christmas? Will we meet with the Savior and worship Him? Will we give a message of praise and glory to God? Will we rejoice because of our salvation and our sins forgiven and that we have a Savior who is Christ the Lord? Or will we focus on just the gift giving and the trees and the lights and the happy things? It's not wrong to have those things. But the focus of all of those should be to glorify God, to exalt the Savior to the world. What message will we give this Christmas? Luke and Matthew reveal Christ. They give a revelation from God to man of Christ and redemption and salvation and the message of hope for mankind. Everybody needs to be saved, and they need to hear the message of Christ. Let's stand together, please. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your mercy and Your grace to us all. We thank You for salvation in Christ and Your gift that You have given to man. You said in Your Word You love this world so much You gave Your only begotten Son. And Lord, help us to not crucify Him again fresh. He died once on the cross to pay for our sins. Help us to be people who believe and serve You now and tell others about the great message that we have to share. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for this time we can pause and think about what we've heard and see if there's decisions that we ought to make. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.